Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and another day we are going to be talking about getting your finances fixed once and for all. You know, I like fix your finances. I think it's a good theme. And you go into a new year and you're like, you know, I want to get it together. And maybe you should focus on it. And if you're listening right now, I think it's a starting point, which is the focus. And if you visit RoyMatlockJr.com, I got so many podcasts that you can listen to that literally anything you need to know when it comes to money. We've put it out there, and it's very important that, you know, you think about what's going on. I generally don't date my, you know, shows and stuff like that, so they can be run, you know, more than once and stuff like that. But, you know, we got tariffs going on and people are worried about everything. And, you know, you got a new president, you're worried. You got, if you voted one way, you're happy. If you voted the other way, you're not as happy and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that I do know that always works, and that is you get a plan in place, that's your goal. You put that plan in an automated state and you stick with it and you review it and adjust it. And then what happens is it all works out. I've been doing this for going on 40 years. And in my 40 years, I remember when the world caved in 1987 and the stock market was at 2000. And so now, you know, you look at what's going on, it just has been an upward spiral when it comes to that. Now, you got to be smart. You got to manage what you do. But the most important thing is you got to automate your system. And what I mean by automating is we get things set up. I had an appointment today and spoke with a guy. Now, I still do appointments and meet with people. And, you know, the thing that I always do is I'm like, all right, we got matching funds with a 401k. If you have that, well, we're going to get our match. And then we're going to set up maybe another draft, maybe a Roth IRA or something like that. And then we might put something in, you know, towards something that builds up a cash value that's your conservative money. But the long and short of it is that we set it up and we automate it. And so there's six components, I believe, that you should always be thinking about when it comes to your money. The first one is that what you don't know will hurt you, and that you need to get educated. Now, you don't need to be educated to such a degree that that's, you know, what you do, unless that's what you do for a living, but you got to be able to have somewhat of an understanding. And the way you do that is you listen to shows like this and you read and you do things like that. If you put time into your finances, you will get anything you manage always gets better. I don't care what it is. You manage, you know, your health. And what I mean by manage is it's accountability and stuff like that. So what I believe is step number one is advice and education. And so you need to work on that. And so this year, if you wanted to really make some progress with your money, the first thing I would do is when you're driving around town, turn on a podcast and, hey, turn on the Roy Matlock Jr. podcast. I can assure you that if you can stand me for the next year and listen to something about an hour a week, you're 50 hours ahead of the curve and you'll be moving forward. So we do that. You attend any events, things that you can to where you learn because your money matters. Then what you do is you do reviews. And the way reviews work is where when I first meet with someone, if you were to set an appointment to meet with me or one of my advisors, we would get you from start with where you're at up to this point in life. We would look at where you're at and make recommendations, and then we would work on a plan to move forward, that being the defense and the offense. Defense keeps us from losing. The offense moves us toward growth and making things happen. We then go to the products and we match products, and then we do that review and update. And so let's talk about, you know, I always do, I believe this, that if you can just start out with a good plan to manage and spend less than you make. So let me give you an example. We start with what I call the GPS, the goal, the plan, the schedule. So what happens is that if you start looking and you wanted to have a quick idea as to what something might be worth, you go to your compound interest calculator. And so what I do is I say, well, if I put aside $500 a month and I get 10% interest on it and I begin at 25 years old, listen to this. I put in $240 at 10%. By the time I'm 65, I got $2.6 million. If I wait 5 years, it costs me $1 million. So what does that say? So $210,000 in, $1.6 million versus $240 in, $2.6 million. So if I wait for 5 years, it costs me $1 million. If I wait for 10 years, it costs me $995 compared to $2.7 million. That costs me $2 million. So what would you get from that? So, well, the first thing I need to do is I need to get started, right? That's the step number one. If you wait all the way to your 50 and you put $500 a month in until you're 65, you have $192,000. But if you start when you're 25, you have $2.6 million. So if we change our interest rates, if we take that same 25-year-old and they put their $500 a month in for 40 years, at 8%, they get $1.6 million. At 10%, they get $2.6 million. All right, so now we say, well, what if I get 6%? Well, it's much less. So we start looking at trying to get our game on to where we're saying, all right, we're going to pay attention. So if we don't have our retirement plan set up in a way that we're optimizing downside, okay, to where we're buying and we optimize our cash that we've got there to where we don't get hit, then we could lose interest rates and a small amount of money in over a period of time becomes a big deal. And so step number one is the budget. So we want to make sure that we create a plan of action that is spending less than we make. Then we have a gap. That gap, you know, should be 10 or 15% on a regular basis. If you do that and you get started, you will end up having a plan of financial independence. We then go and put it into things that have growth opportunities, and we have things that are defensive. But the long and short of it is what? We're going to spend less than we make. And then every year we focus on moving our income up. And how do you move your income up? You become more valuable. Most of the time, the best way to move your income up is do a great job where you're at and then change jobs. It's been proven that if you do that, you always end up getting more income, which allows you to move forward with your finances. And so it's a new year. You don't want to be procrastinating. I can help you get started on a game plan for financial independence for as little as $300 a month if you're new and getting started. So here's what I would do. If you've got a lot of money or you got a little money, go to RoyMatlockJr.com and schedule a one-on-one consultation. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're back, and today we're just going to talk about a lot of the fundamentals, and, you know, the first fundamental is get on an automated plan, and the automated plan is your 401k, have some money pulled out of your checking account. You know, when I first got involved in the investment business, I put $50 a month into a mutual fund. It automatically drafted. That was almost 40 years ago, and it changed my life, and that's what you need to be thinking about. And so one of the most important things is a budget. So I'm going to give you a quick idea on how to set up a budget. It's the simplest thing you've ever done, and it'll for once and forevermore, you will say, I'm in control. All right. So first step is you can go to RoyMatlockJr.com and download the budget form. What this budget form does is allow you to put money in to the different categories, and it calculates it for you. So it's like a spreadsheet type deal. So then you can go in and you take your income minus your outgo and so on. So here's what happens. All right. If you're married, you should have three accounts, checking accounts. If you're single, you will have two accounts. All right. So I want you to think about that. One is called a draft account. The other one is called a spending account. So what's going to happen is this. So we've got three bank accounts or two bank accounts. If you're single, two. If you're married, three. I'm going to show you how simple this is. So what we do is we take all of our income sources and we stick it into our draft account. What is a draft account? That's where all our drafts come out. So 100% of our income goes in. Now, if you have a 401k or any health plans that are coming out through your company, that would be prior to, okay? And so that's the starting point. Then the money goes into your draft account. I call it, I name it a draft account. Then I set up all of my automations to draft from that account. All right. And I set them up. I don't have to worry about it anymore. All my bills and my savings are out of that draft account. So now if you've got X number of dollars coming in, you got X number of dollars that are fixed recurring payments, including paying yourself, like to a Roth IRA or whatever it may be. It's simple. It's all automated. You don't have to worry about it. Then what happens is on the budget form, there's going to be some irregular things that need to be prepared for to keep you from having things happen that cause you to go in debt. So let me give you some examples. Maintenance for your home, maintenance for your car. You say, you know, there's probably going to be some maintenance. Got to get new tires. I'm going to have to do this, have to do that. So we're going to account for that inside of that budget. It's just going to be sitting there in the draft account. So you're going to see this draft account have X amount of dollars come in and out, and then it's going to grow, and then you're going to have something come up, maintenance. You're going to pull money out. You're going to pay it. The draft account will go down. Then what's going to happen is you're going to have Christmas come along. You know, it comes at the same time every year, but nobody prepares for it. Then they end up in debt, all right? So then what you're going to do is you're going to say, I'm going to set aside this amount of money for Christmas. I'm going to set aside this amount of money for vacations. I'm going to set aside all these different things that don't occur regular. So let's say you're going to spend $2,000 and you're going to go somewhere for the weekend, whatever, on a vacation. You say, I'm going to do that twice a year, whatever it is. That's $4,000. That's $300 a month. That's going to be accounted for. All right. Then when it's time for you to go on that vacation, you're going to move that $2,000 into your spending account, and you have a debit card, and you'll spend it, and there'll be no more money in there other than what it's supposed to be spent, and you just accounted for it, and you did not spend money you didn't have. Now, how do we do this? We do it once we get that set up. We take our weekly spending account, and on Sunday night, you just move whatever amount of money you need to have that week that is accounted for within the budget. And then if you really want to do what I think you ought to do, I mean, I've been doing this for years. I tell the bank to send me an email or a text message every day with my balance in that spending account. So now you're cruising along. I'm going to just give you a number. You got $300 a week that you're spending eating out and buying gas and all the different things that go along and just living. And every day you get your balance, and you look in your debit card, and you find out your spending account has got $22 left, and it's Saturday night, and you're like, all right, I got to go home because I am out of money this week. Now, keep in mind what I did is I had my drafts paid, all my bills paid. I set aside money for car replacement so that way I don't have a car payment. I've done all these things within the budget. Go to the budget forms, and what will happen is you will be able to allocate your spending. Now, what about raising your lifestyle? Just raise your lifestyle by raising your income. How do you raise your income? You become more valuable. So now what's happening is if your income goes up, you, again, adjust where your savings goes up, that gap. So if you have a 15% goal going to investments, all right, that would mean that if you're making $100K a year, you're putting about $1,250 a month in. That's 15%. You will start moving forward financially. Everything's allocated. You say, well, yeah, I want a bigger house. Fine. Go make $200,000 a year and keep your 15%, all right? And now that's $30,000 you're putting aside, because now what you're doing is you're matching your savings to your income, and that means that when you retire, you will have set aside money that will allow you to have an income to the lifestyle that you desire, which is what you're living. And then what we do is we put together what we call a financial independence number, all right? And the way you calculate your financial independence number is you say, if I quit today, what would I want to have? All right, 45 years old, I want 100 grand. We then go to the inflation calculator and we say 20 years from now, if we go back historical inflation, it's take that 100 grand a year, you need 1.67. So now you get 167 20 years from now, which is 100 today. And then we multiply that by 20, and we need 3.2 million. That's our number, all right? Then from there, we back that into what do we have now? What do we need to save each month based on interest rates? And we have our financial independence plan. So keep raising your lifestyle. Just make sure that your lifestyle has that automatic financial independence number going. So what I do when I meet with people is we look at their income, and we review where their income is. And if their income goes up, guess what we do? Just adjust the budget. And so this is the way you manage the outcomes and you automate it. And so my mindset has always been, let's get on a budget. We have an emergency fund set aside. That's about 3 months of cash. What's the emergency fund for? It keeps you from going in debt. You lose a job, whatever it may be, it happens. An additional emergency fund I would recommend all people have, especially if you have equity in your home right now, set up a HELOC while you're working. That way you have an additional emergency fund in the event something happens. You get in a wreck and you can't work or you lose a job or something like that. It keeps you from going in debt and it keeps you from pulling your retirement funds out and things like that. And so we're building around a system. And so when I meet with clients, the first thing I do is I see a lot of equity in their home. I'm like, do you have a HELOC set up, which is a second mortgage, line of credit? And they're like, no. So we need to go get one. Why? Because you never know what might happen. You've got all this equity, and as long as you're working right now, you can go get the loan. And then if you lose a job or anything like that and you need that money, you have access to it. It's an extra emergency fund. But if you don't have a job and you go try to get that HELOC done, you can't get it. All right. So remember, bankers are pretty funny. If you don't need the money, they'll give it to you. If you need the money, they won't. All right. And so what you want to do is when you're in a position of strength, always take advantage and do things to reduce your risk. So that way you never go backwards. The whole idea is once financially independent, let's never go the opposite direction. So we become more defensive. The whole idea is let's hold on to what we have and grow it, but never take that big step in the wrong direction, which is what I don't want to see anybody do. I've been working with people. If they're ever there, we start backing off. And we're going to talk a little bit more about asset allocation when it comes to your retirement plans as we continue today's show. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com and download that budget form. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
Roy Matlock, we're back in segment three. We are going to be we're always expanding. I mean, that's what I do. And if you have enjoyed the show and would like to learn a new skill set, you might be a good candidate for our referral partner program, where you can actually earn money, become licensed, and refer business to us. You have friends and family that and colleagues that you do that you know that need our help, and we can actually give you a system where you can earn some extra income. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com and check the Join the Team box, and we'll send you something to where you can find out about that. We got all kinds of stuff going on. I'm a business owner. You know, if you own a business, that's, you know, how that works. I'm a business owner, and my business is helping people with their money, and so we do that kind of stuff. So we've been talking about, you know, keeping you from going the wrong direction. You know, I talked about when we came out of the break about, you know, setting a budget up and automating your accounts and, you know, an emergency fund, 3 months of income, debt management. What is debt? Debt is good debt and bad debt. You know, I had a guy today, he asked me, he said, should I pay my car off? And he was making a couple hundred grand. He owed like 40 grand on his car, and he had a like a 2.9% rate. You know, the guy wasn't behind. So he met two of the qualifications on debt. Number one is he can afford it easily. Number two, it's a low interest rate. So that is the first two. I generally tell people, you know, don't borrow money against things that go down in value. But he said, should I take my money and pay off my car when I have, you know, a low interest rate? I'm like, nah, I wouldn't do that because, I mean, you can get, in his case, at this point of the show, the interest rates are like 4.5%. So he can leave his money at 4.5% in the bank and even do better than paying 3% on a car. And I would tell you the same thing. I've got had another one that had a 2.6% interest rate on their house, and don't pay that off. That is, you'll never get that again. And so what you want to do, if you have good debt, you can afford it, it's tied to something that goes up in value, that could be a real estate, it could be a business, whatever, go in debt. That's what bonds are. That's what big companies do. They borrow money to invest. There's nothing wrong with that as long as you can pay it. The thing you don't want to do is put yourself in a position where you have bad debt. That's where you're overextended. It's tied to something that goes down in value, high interest rates. You know, I had a person just last week, and they had like $8,000 of credit card debt at 20%, and they had like $26,000 in the bank. I said, pay your debt off. I mean, you just make 20% on your money if you pay your debt off. And so if you pay credit card debts off, so we go through things like that. You buy life insurance. Let me give you an example. Life insurance, and this is just there's a lot of companies, but I'm going to just give you an example. I have one example of buying term life insurance. When you buy life insurance, or if you buy insurance, period, think of insurance as designed to protect an income or an asset. That's what all insurance is. So if you protect your income, you buy life insurance, disability income, things like that. If you protect assets, you buy health insurance, you buy liability insurance, car insurance, stuff like that. That keeps you from long-term care. That keeps you from and protects your assets. So we're buying insurance to protect our income or our assets. That's really the way it is. We protect our principal when we buy insurance. You know, you buy the most expensive insurance out there available that is the strongest insurance, is the FDIC insurance, but you're paying for it. So you always pay a premium when you buy insurance. So if you put your money in the bank, you got principal, and your principal's guaranteed by the FDIC. Well, you pay for it by getting lower interest rates. So everything. So anytime you're looking at stuff about an investment versus something, you always look at the risk-adjusted return. Does it make sense to go throw the dice on a startup company, you know, versus getting a return of principal guaranteed? Sometimes not. You have to manage that. But anyway, but the point being is we go do that. So we look at, if we're buying life insurance, I see people, you know, you see all these GoFundMe deals. Let me give you an example. I looked up some just standard rates, and if you've got better health and all that, a 25-year-old can buy a 25-year level term for $100 a month and get $800,000 of coverage in that range. All right, think about that. $800,000, if anything happens and you've got a young family, you could take $800,000 and at 6%, it'll pay $50,000 and you'll never run out of money. All right, if you have it invested, something like that. So what happens is you say, well, I need to do that. All right. So I want to make sure and protect my income. You might want to go and put some money aside in something that's permanent on the life insurance. I recommend what's called an indexed universal life. And what it does, it gives you the permanent insurance, but it builds up cash value that you pull out tax-free. So there's a lot of stuff like that. But the long and short of it is insurance. Life insurance is a necessary thing. Health insurance, a lot of times you have to work if you're self-employed. I've always had very high deductibles where I pay cash as I go. Went in and got my hand x-rayed, or I had an ultrasound, something like that. I don't remember what it was, but had a knot on my hand and got to the place, and I had a $7,500 deductible on my insurance. And I said, how much is it? The guy says $1,700 to get this ultrasound done. I said, what's the cost if I pay cash? He said, they said $450. And so if you pay cash when you show up to the doctor, all right, you get discounts. Ask for the cash discount and you raise your deductible. That's one way. And that saves you money on health insurance. The other way is you do a health share. I ended up moving to a health sharing plan, which is also a big time savings when it comes. But you're taking on some of the risk. I don't know why the insurance companies, I guess they figure they could sell more insurance by getting you to pay $20 when you show up. All right. And as a result of that $20, you pay bigger premiums. You buy liability insurance. That's for your home, your car. I recommend umbrella policies. Pick up a million or two of umbrella. It's a cheap lawyer. And it's an umbrella policy is a liability policy, and then you get your second mortgage. You got your defense all set up, all right? Now you go on the offense, and we start looking at, you know, putting our money aside, you know, on a regular basis. Most importantly, we pay ourselves first. You start out, and you say, man, I'm going to put aside money, okay, $500 a month. So $500 a month for 30 years, what's it going to grow to? Well, if we go to $500 a month for 30 years and we get 8% on it, we're going to end up with a $684,000. If we got 10%, we got $995,000. So all you think about that, that's $100 a week, $500 a month, ballpark. And what's stopping you? I'll tell you what's stopping you more than likely. Just don't have it set up. That's all. If somebody said, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull that out of your account. I tell my clients, I said, look, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to implement what you need. I'm an implementer. And what do I mean by an implementer? You need to put aside $1,500 a month, and we're going to pull $1,500 a month out of your checking account every month, and I'm going to help you set up your 401k. It might be a third of it goes to your 401k to get your matching funds. We're going to put the rest of it. We're going to pull it out of your checking account. All you got to do is leave it in there, and you are on your way to your financial independence plan. I have learned that in working with people, used to they would do their IRA at the end of the year. And I'm like, nah, let's put in, it started at $2,000 a year. Let's put $166 a month in. And what happens is you get used to it, and the money goes in, and one day you get excited about saving money. And your accounts get you motivated rather than spending money, and you're on your way. And so we want to get time working for us, consistency, automation, and we do that kind of stuff. So if you are sitting there right now and you're wanting to get it going, I mean really get it going, there's some things you got to do. We got to look at what you got, all right? And I met with a client today that, you know, they're excited about the fact that S&P 500 has been up, it's been rocking and all that kind of stuff. Problem is that they're at retirement age and they're very, very aggressive. So you want to look at your allocations, do that kind of stuff, and then you want to jump on it and maximize your monthly paycheck, put it into things that can grow. And so that's what we do. If you are right now working by yourself without a financial advisor, or maybe you have one and you like a second opinion, go to RoyMatlockJr.com and set up a phone call. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, final segment, and we're talking money, and we talk about offense and defense, and I'm going to get into some details on, you know, just some ideas you might consider with your 401k, with Social Security, as we're moving right toward retirement and looking at, you know, what should we do, or maybe you've retired, or maybe you're still working. I had a client today that is at Social Security age and can start drawing it and is still working. They said, should I draw it? And I always generally recommend that you start drawing Social Security at full retirement age. If you're still working, still do it. And then take that money as if you don't have it. In this case, it was almost $5,000 a month. And set up an account called your Social Security account. And what do? We draft that into an investment. So you get your Social Security on the 10th and on the 15th. We snatch it out of your bank account, stick it into an investment. And then what happens is the difference between 66 and 70, $500 a month or $5,000 a month in this case, maximum Social Security at $60,000 a year for 3 years. Your Social Security account is worth $180,000 plus any gains on it. And so we tell people to do that. That's just generally my rule of thumb. I always like to do that. It takes a long time to catch up. That's an example of advice. Now, would you do that if you were not working, or if you were working, would you go earlier than that? No, there's a lot of different, and that's why we meet with people and we give advice on that. Some other examples of things that I have been telling people. Another client is a federal employee, and like in the late 50s, has a big chunk of money in the thrift savings plan. And so we looked at it and said, well, we'll back off the big chunk because we don't want to have a big hit potentially, because when you got a lot of money and, you know, we don't want to take less risk. But on the investment itself, we're going very aggressive with the idea that the market goes down, we get the dollar cost average and buy at a discount. And so 401ks, when you're looking at your 401ks, everybody's different. It's no blanket recommendation, but that was what I told this guy. I said, let's back off what you got and let's get aggressive in the event the market goes down. And so there's all these different ways of doing it. So the monthlies were aggressive. The lump sum was backed off. You get asset allocation to where you look at your accounts and you say, well, how much is aggressive? How much is conservative? You know, if people are retiring, I had another client that I met with and had about $600,000. And they said, you know, how do we set this income up? I said, well, generally what I'll do is take and look at fixed indexed annuities for a portion of it, maybe a third of your money, which gives you a guaranteed lifetime income that you can never outlive. And it usually is more than a typical withdrawal rate that you would get if you did like a 4% withdrawal. And then you leave the other two-thirds in things that can grow, so that offsets longevity risk because you got your Social Security and your annuity. That's a good plan. And then you've got your other money that you got a longer-term horizon on. You can invest that maybe in a stock and bond portfolio, some allocation, whatever it may be. Again, until we meet with people, we can't really tell you exactly. But at the end of the day is now you got a plan that hopefully will outperform inflation in the future years. You've got a guaranteed lifetime income along the way. So now we've got a plan. We diversify it across, you know, not individual stocks, but across groups, portfolios. How do we do that? We hire professional money managers. You know, my job is to, as a fiduciary, my job is to meet with you. My guys meet with you. And what do? We analyze your situation, and then we go look for places to put your money. And in many cases, in cases with me, I don't try to pick the stocks. I pick good managers that have track records, and then we go find that. And I'm like your personal shopper, all right? And so the personal shopper, I go in, and then if your life changes, we change. And so we start doing that. We take advantage of of reallocations. If we get too heavy in one place, we can reallocate it. That's why it's very important to always, if you're working with someone, to do regular reviews to make sure that things are going in the right direction. We look at tax planning. I see people, I mention this all the time. I had a self-employed guy that we met with just recently, had $100,000 in the bank and wasn't funding retirement plans. Well, a self-employed person has got a lot of options on retirement plans. Of course, you got traditional IRAs, which you can put in. This year, you can put $75 or $8,500 in to your traditional IRA, but you can also do last year's IRA if you're married, and you can do double that. And you may decide that putting that in as a deductible account is your best place, or we may decide a Roth, depending on where you're at. But if you put in your deductible IRA, you can reduce your taxes right now. If you have a self-employed situation, you don't have employees, well, you may do a SEP account. A SEP account, you put 25% of your profit. Currently, it's about $69,000, something like that, that you can put aside up to that tax deductible. So now what we're doing is we're saying, why are we giving it to the IRS? Why would we do that when we can do something that will either tax deduct it, or we can do a tax deferral? That would be an annuity, money that we don't need. We can throw it in an annuity. It can grow. And as long as you don't pull it prior to 59 and a half, there's no penalties. And it grows tax deferred for as long as you want to defer it. You can defer it. I had a client of mine that we put $200 in. We knew she'd never need it. And it grew to $900,000. All right. And so left it in there forever. Never paid taxes on that. That kind of deal. So we got tax deductible, which would be like your 401k pre-tax. It could be an IRA pre-tax if you qualify based on your income. We got after-tax, tax-free. That would be your Roths, all right, to where you can put it in. It goes tax-free. You can put in buy insurance policies. I mean, you can go in and buy an insurance policy that initially, if you die, you'll have a death benefit. You'll always have a death benefit. Then it builds cash value. You can bring it out tax-free. And then when you pass away, all the money that you pulled out was part of a death benefit, and you never pay taxes on it. So I've seen as much, if you start early, you put in, you know, a dollar, and you get to pull five out, and that five was never taxed, all right, because it was part of a tax-free environment. So you got all those kind of plans. You got college plans. You can do that stuff. You got health savings plans. You got all these things. So tax planning is very important. I'll never not talk about estate planning, give you some examples of estate planning. And estate planning is not just a will. A will's better than nothing, but a will puts you in probate. So generally we'll do things like recommend living trust, and you got to get your financial power of attorney, your healthcare power of attorney, your living will, all those kind of things are the living portion. Why do you want that? Well, I'll give you an example. If you're single and you're out there on your own and you get in a car wreck, who's going to pay your bills? Who's going to make some decisions on, you know, whether you should have this surgery or not? You know, that kind of stuff. And so that's what a healthcare power of attorney is, financial power of attorney, those kind of things. I ask people all the time, I say, do you have your will and trust set up? And they say, no, but I need it. I need one. If you're single, you need one. Everybody needs it, all right? And then that way you can make decisions on it. So we look at those kind of things. So at the end of the day, what you want to do is you want to take and have a plan. And what is a plan? A financial plan is like anything else. It starts with, you know, getting good advice. From there, you create a goal. What is the outcome that you want to have? I always tell it's like, you know, you get in your car, and most of the time when you get in your car and you turn the engine on and you start driving, all right, you have a destination you want to get to. Well, you know, if you jump in a Uber, you tell them where you want to go. What would it be like if you jumped in the back of the Uber and said, drive, and then they just drove around, and then one day you're like, well, why didn't I get where I wanted to go? Well, you never told me where you wanted to go. So I've just been joyriding. Don't know where I'm going. Don't know where I'm going to get to. And so everything is a math problem when it comes to where you need to get to. The math problem is your financial independence number. We take the financial independence number. What is it you need today if you quit? That's what I would do. The first thing I would do is say, hey, if I quit today, how much would I need? And the way you calculate that is you say, well, I'm not saving money anymore because I'm withdrawing money, so I don't have to worry about that. And I'm probably going to not pay as much taxes. What's the number? The number is $6,000 a month, 12 months, $72,000 a year. I need $72,000. If I had $72,000, I'm good. I go to the Social Security Department. There's a calculator, and it'll tell you, if you make this much money and you're this age, here's what you're going to get. So we calculate that. So we go there. We go and then look at where you're at. And we say, well, all right, you need $72,000. Just take 16 times that. That's a good rule of thumb. 16 to 20 times, that's your amount of money you need to save, have saved. So 72 times 20 is $1,000,004. That's your financial independence number today. Today. All right. And then at that point, you say, well, we got to add our inflation to it. And now I'm not going to do it for 20 years. So that's 1.6 times what I need. All right, I got that. I'm getting my plan together. And then I'm going to estimate, got what I have, whatever I have saved now. We're going to run that out. If we get 8% on it, here's what you got. Here's your shortfall. Your shortfall is you need to save $800,000. You got 20 years. And if we get this, here's your monthly number. So let's take your monthly number, automate it. And you know what you can do? You can rest easy at night saying, you know what? I'm on track. I got a plan. It's good. Life is good. I'm moving in the right direction. And so what I would do then is then implement products. And so we go in, if you're young, you're going to have certain products. If you're older, you're going to have additional products. Some of the younger products you won't have when you're older and vice versa. And we go out to the product marketplace and we say, let's pick out, let's get the best solution for creating the financial independence plan. And that's how I work. And I do this every day. I enjoy working, helping people with their money. Our team does that. And that's why we have got, over the years, over 50,000 clients throughout my organization, and we have helped people with their money. We know what we're doing. And so if you're looking or would like a second opinion on your money, we're the place to go. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com, and we have every download imaginable that you can learn from. We've got podcasts, all that kind of stuff. You can also call if you don't want to visit, 615-843-2999. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. You are listening to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. Check us out on any of your podcasts. We'll talk next week.